This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation with Hart Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Collect, Marco's Pizza, and Nassau Cruise Port.
The Foundation.
If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. Well, in my mind, I thought the same one time. And I hear you spouting much talk about how you ain't being led. Ain't no one telling you what to do. But attitude will catch up with you and keep you from your destiny. If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere.
And gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. Give you a little slice of the 90s. Talk to me. Just a little taste. Little sister act in the house for you. And I think it's time for all of us to act right. Talk to me. This is the thing that came to the forefront today. We're going to dive into this conversation. Yesterday was bananas. We're going to talk about a few things. I want you guys to be able to participate. It's me and you, mano y mano, oi. So, gentlemen, give me a call, 323-6232, 6265, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family violence, 242-300, 5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Make sure you pick up the newspaper. PM pledges tough action on crime. I hope you watch that thing. We're going to talk about that today. Shout out to my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They got that thing laid out and prepared for you. Make sure you get your card licensed, insured, taken care of, do the whole thing. And you can kind of pull back on Taxi 11. Give them a call. 341-1AFS. 341-1AFS. They are AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They are number 407 Blue Hill Road South. It is an absolutely beautiful day. Happy to be in your company, ladies and gentlemen. Today is National Prayer Day. I hope you said a soft prayer and threw that thing up. Talk to me in decency and in order with a very clear, clear understanding of where we are and a very clear understanding of where we need to be. Guys, I'm here live and in full effect with you on this absolutely beautiful day, glorious day. I'm truly grateful to be in your company. We're going to talk like this today. There's a great deal of things that's happened this weekend, guys, and I want to be able to talk to you about it. I did a little, you know, in the spirit of decency, outside of the many calls that you've given me, There seems to be sort of a separation that exists. There was, seems to be. It's quite evident. It's shown, right? So there is a revival for Word of Life. Can I say that? Can I say that it's okay? Shout out to the pastor, Rikino Monker, and shout out to Bishop Neil Ellis at Mount Tabor. There's a great deal of things happening in the body of Christ. I just want to talk about this. Yeah, Howard, don't fight me. Amen? We didn't get past this already. Don't fight me. I believe that our society, to find a true sense of growth, there needs to be this sort of a synchronicity, this balance that exists between the physical, the spiritual, the government, the private, the family life, the public. I believe that there needs to be balance for us to find productivity. And that's where these conversations are going. To find a space and place that we can be able to say that this is where we're supposed to be able to move forward. We went in on Friday. I felt like I did. I don't know. I mean, you tell me. I felt like I did. I felt like we did a number on Friday. Right? We sat here, we had a very clear conversations about where we are in this country, where we need to go, decisively being able to kind of dissect these things of all the information that's come forward from our members of parliament and cabinet ministers, right? More specifically, Fred Mitchell being able to take on this kind of a position to almost, oppose and clearly state the contrast that exists between the two political organizations. I went into it to talk about the contrast between those organizations. But then I believe that there comes a juncture, right? There comes sort of a cross path between two organizations when there is a social necessity that's not being met. The Prime Minister has gone to New Destiny Church last week or week before. I think it was last week, Sunday, and indicated that we're going to be stiff on crime and things are going to be happening. We saw in the paper where the Prime Minister indicated that he was shocked. And so we went in. And this was not to scrutinize the Prime Minister and what he's done in terms of being able to levy destructive criticisms at his feet and say that, you know, wag our finger and say that you're wrong. What we're saying is that we encourage you. But understand that you have platform available to you. At the high, you are the proverbial paramount in this land. And there's an expectation for you to be able to use the resources at your fingertips to reach the people that it needs to. For example, I'm riding on the road today, just in a kind of a reflective mode as I drive through the city and kind of absorb what's happening in the city. If you pick up your Guardian newspaper, you'll be able to see exactly what I'm talking about. At the bottom of the paper, it says that in an argument, two men late Friday night in New Providence resulted in one of the men being murdered. Chief Superintendent Michael Johnson said two men attended a function on Carmichael Road and got into a fight. The suspect hit the victim with an object and pulled out a knife and stabbed the deceased several times in the neck. This is what Johnson indicated. And he said he, the victim, stumbled across the street where he collapsed at the rear end of, and then you could be able to go on to A7 to be able to find the information, right? Let's get to something. So as I'm, driving through the city today, this morning, dropping my kids off, doing everything what I have to do, I like to kind of drive with my window down. My wife hates me to do that. They say, well, why don't you turn? No, I want to be able to kind of soak up what's happening in the city. I don't know. I'm kind of a weird guy. I do my thing. Don't fight me. And so as I'm doing that, I'm listening to different influences that exist, you know, from music and, you know, how people are engaging in these things and how this is just another day. Today, beyond the fact that it's Martin Luther King Day, talk to me. Beyond the fact that all these things are happening out here, today is our National Day of Prayer. Today. And so as I look at this, the only time I can see anyone praying yet again, and I just, this is not condemnation, but this is constructive criticism for you to be able to open up your eyes to see what's happening out here. If you continue to confine your prayer within the four walls of your organization, it ain't reaching nobody. Talk to me. It may reach heaven, but no one around you. laterally is impacted by your efforts longitudinally. Let's just be very clear about this. I just want to be decent when I say these things. As I indicated, the Prime Minister has at his fingertips the resources to be able to impact and reach people exactly where they are. Right where they are. And today, there is no marketing, no information, no reach on Carmichael Road, on Blue Hill Road. These are the roads that I traveled. On Carmichael Road, on Blue Hill Road, I also went on Milo Butler Highway. Nothing. There is absolutely nothing to indicate to me that today is a National Day of Prayer. I'm looking in the newspaper to be able to find out exactly what's what. Where is the information? We have to get serious about these things, whether that's prayer, whether that's amnesty, whether that's a collective, collaborative effort for being able to get out into the streets and touch these persons. This cannot be casual. It cannot be that we've rendered these things simply to be able to get into the newspaper and etched into the annals of time and history to say that I participated, I did my part. Talk to me. This will be very clear. It's not enough. It is not enough for you to be able to say, well, I did my part. Well, what you want me to do? The people ain't say. It is not enough. And I say that with the spirit of decency upon me heavy. Talk to me. It's like a cloak on me right now. Decent. With the resources that we have, this is not what you would do with your campaign. It is not. This is not what you would do within the confines of your political organization. This is not what you would do. If you have a rally, everybody needs to know that you're having a rally. If you are having a meeting in one of the schools, everyone needs to know. There's a graphic made somewhere. Someone got a graphic somewhere for these things. Nothing. Nothing. In a National Day of Prayer, I know, let's take Delton Ellis. Delton Ellis, 5 o'clock every morning, he has, and you know, this is Bishop Delton Ellis. Let's be very decent about these particular things. Bishop Delton Ellis, he's been doing this for some time. 5 o'clock in the morning, there's a prayer line that you can get on. Pastor Vaughn Miller, now Minister Vaughn Miller, one time ago used to have a prayer line that you could be able to get on. There is no synchronicity in this country, no unification. I just want to be decent when I tell you this and open up your eyes to see what's happening. This kind of a fractured approach that you say, well, I do my part. It is not enough. It is not enough. If you are serious about, and you know, I got a text from one of the ministers that indicated to me, Howard, we cannot eradicate crime. There's no expectation that I don't expect you to eradicate crime, but my God, I expect you to reduce it to almost nothing. And I believe we could do that. But it's not going to take this kind of a flippant, hands-off approach to say, well, at least I say it. And what you want me to do, what you want me to do if they didn't do it? Guys, today is the National Day of Prayer. As crime continues to be able to escalate, I don't know. See, this is Howard. I just want to be decent now as I say these things. Because I need you to wrap your mind around what's happening in our country. Right? I want to be able to wrap your mind around what's happening in the country. There's a gentleman that was killed on Friday night. The story goes that the suspects, they attended a party or function, sorry, on Carmichael Road, and they got into a fight. The suspect hit the victim with an object and pulled out a knife. Now, I've been in, I don't know, maybe about 6 fights in my life. Good fights. I end up with a black eye one time. I get burst in my neck one time. It's a good fight. These are 8 Mile Rock fights. You get whopped in your hand with wood. You might sprain. It's a good fight. These are good fights. Good fights. But then you tote your cut hip. This is the era I come from. The era, the time I come from. I tote my cut hip and pray to God that my daddy don't hear about these stories. Because, you know, sometimes his decent son getting violent. How do you know? Life from 8 Mile Rock, dude. And then they will fight you because you're red. You're then big and red. How come your hair curly than everybody else? They will kill you. They will kill you. So you're getting these fight home. Boom. So in the midst of getting these fight, now you got to figure out these things. You got to stand on your own too. Because you can't be no soft boy. You got to stand on your own too. You got to throw your blow. Bam. get in your fight. Not, okay, maybe one time after a fight, I felt an increased desire with violence kind of creeping in there. It might have been, you know, just in hindsight, looking back, it might have been, you know, some kind of whispering in my ear. I don't know. But I felt inclined to go look for a weapon. In one of the fights, I didn't like this boy. I did not like this boy. I just don't like him. And I was inclined, something whispered to me, because I don't do these things. Something whispered to me, go deal with this thing. Before I touch him, I can tell you the truth. Before I touched this boy, I'd be decent. I wouldn't call his name. You all know him. He seemed to be a good fellow. Anyway, praise God. We're not bothered with that today. Before I touch him, he went in, because I tell you, get a big yard. He limped to my daddy. I didn't touch him yet. He limped to my father. Mr. Grant. Howard Grant hit me. I didn't touch this boy yet. It's like, I told him to cut him for that. Right? But, you know, in hindsight, when we look back at it, thank God that happened. Because you never know where you'd be today. Now, I say that to say that I don't know what scenario in life we could get to at an occasion like this where we're having a good time at a function and I feel the necessity to be able to snuff you out. And the enemy is extremely elusive. A lot of us don't come to the conclusion that we are spirits having a physical experience. A lot of the people, you know, you believe in one way or another that this is it. You're like Michael Jackson, this is it. And so you don't take into account that we are spirits having a physical experience. We're going through this. We're not here forever. We're having an experience. There is a purpose that we come here for, to be able to execute these particular things. We have an experience. And in the midst of that experience, you feel inclined to snuff someone out. It's bananas to me. I think it's important that we understand some things. On this day of prayer, this day of reflection, this sort of deep within ourselves. We look deep within ourselves and make a determination that we can say a soft prayer to our God for the reformation of this country. And I believe that that's the first step that we can take. I want to encourage all those persons that reached out. I put a little Facebook page out. A lot of persons reached out. They added stuff to what I said. They took away stuff to what I said. But this is all an effort for community collaboration. I want to commend the Prime Minister for being able to take on this posture, this position. Right at the onset, he's been able to talk about these things. When we get back, I think I'm going to play a little something for you. Maybe I play 10, 15 minutes of the thing if you didn't have an opportunity to be able to hear the Prime Minister. But I want you to understand something. It's time for us to be able to wake up. If our children, if you believe that your children could be something, it's time for us to wake up. And it's time for us to be able to contribute to a better community. Let's get out in the streets, guys. Let's start to touch each other. Let's start to be able to get from door to door and be able to carry this message of reform for our city. We can do this. We could baptize people into a mind of this kind of a lackadaisical, hands-off approach that child, it ain't me, well, praise Jesus, it ain't me. Let them come. Let's baptize them. Let's wake them up to let them know it's all of us. We got to do away with this kind of a concept. The very first thing that happens after we find out there is crime, we try to figure out who these people are. Let's fix this, man. Let's fix this. The very first thing that happens in this country, when you see someone snuffed out, I saw a video come through my phone. One of the members of parliament also sent it to me. Gentleman laying out on, I don't know whether or not he's still with us or not. I didn't get any no report. I looked through my phone to see if I get a report. Snuffed out, he bleeding on the sidewalk. 6 people going under him, scoop him up, and push him in a car to be able to run to Princess Margaret Hospital. Let's be very clear about this. Someone have to educate these people. Someone have to educate these people in these areas with what we consider hot spot in this country. Someone, how much blood you think they got in Princess Margaret Hospital? When your Grammy fall down, slip and break her hip now and the problems like this, no one could get served. My God, we have to talk like this. We can't talk in a language. Like, we have to talk straight to these people. If you get shoot, you might bleed out and die. You ain't gonna make it. My God. If you stab someone, you may not make it, my God. Well, how would any get stabbed in my arm? But if you gotta wait 2 days, he may bleed out. This is too much. Ladies and gentlemen, let's be clear about this. With clarity, with honesty, with transparency, and with our hearts on our sleeve, we must change this country. We cannot live like this anymore. This is it. I started to say, I commend the Prime Minister for being able to take his posture and his position, but I need to feel your heart. Not in a bad way, Prime Minister, you did your part. But my God, you live here. My heart broken from afar. People calling me from Long Island, Spanish Wells, and Southern Islands, their heart is broken from afar. My God, we need passion in this country. We need empathy in this country. And we need reformation in this country now. On this day of prayer, guys, whatever prayer you're putting up, as you pray for your families, as you pray for your finances, you pray for your health, your strength, you pray for your path for 2024, pray for this nation. Pray for this nation's leadership all across the board, both public and private. Pray for a rejuvenated mindset of community. Pray for alignment. Pray for transparency. Pray for exposure. Pray for access. Let's make some things happen. The line's going to be wide open, guys. Let me take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
It's come true. You got to wake up and pay attention. If you want.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Make your mornings easy with the new breakfast bowls at Burger King Nassau. These delicious bowls are a complete breakfast in a convenient package for those on the run who want to enjoy the most important meal of the day, the BK way. Each breakfast bowl has all the breakfast fixings you love and comes in three tasty versions to choose from, including the classic, the Southwestern style, and the keto-friendly bowl. BK just made breakfast easier with the new breakfast bowls at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, Foundation, here live and in full effect. Listen, I want to say something as a prerequisite. I don't want you to fight me. I really don't. I love your opinions. I really do. I want to be honest with you. I don't want to be able to kind of put an embargo on the telephone calls. I want to be able to have a very clear call, and I don't want to fight your opinion. I just want to be able to kind of align myself with what's already been released for the nation. Is that okay for me to say it like that? I don't want to get into a conversation with you about whether or not it's my belief, whether or not we're a Christian nation, I don't think that we are at this juncture anymore. I think we push past that. I think that there are other days that we can be able to identify that with and be able to have that kind of a conversation for debate. Today is not a day of debate. Today is a day of participation. Participation with an objective for growth and development. An alignment. Can I say that? Can I do that? Can you give me a little space to do that today? I didn't make this proclamation to the nation. But as a citizen, I seek to align myself with it. Now, I don't know your faith. I don't know your conviction. I don't know your position. I don't know your relationship with divinity. I don't. I think you know mine. I think I've made it very clear what I believe in and my faith to be able to push along the path of Christianity. I've said that. I don't want to fight you. I want to fight crime. And our prime minister has released this. And I believe this, accompanied with many other elements, as we participate in a community, we can eradicate this. This sort of a significant uptick. Let's do that. Let's fix it. For somebody call me and keep rowing me about trying to eradicate crime entirely. Howard, come on now. We need some crime, I guess. I don't know. Is it what you're saying? It's too much. I don't want to fight. I really don't. I want to fight crime. I'm tired. I'm tired that the only place that you identify this country as paradise is when you're in the sky. And the closer and closer as you zoom in and come into the community, you say, oh, okay, let's go. I'll give you a quick example of what I say, what I mean by this. I was in Colorado, Denver, Colorado, right off I-4 at the hotel called Four Points. There was a transition from one hotel to another. They were opening up and becoming a Starwood hotel. And so they called a great deal of persons from various, I tell you the story before, from various places. And I came from the Bahamas. Now, this was just before Francis and Jane, right? Just before, though it was 3 weeks before Francis and Jane, 2 weeks before Francis and Jane, I was in the United States of America in Denver, Colorado. I was supposed to spend 2 weeks in Denver, Colorado, just to help them with the transition, help them in the front office, give them training, so forth and so on, participate in being able to give the culture, just like colonialism. This is what it was. I was one of the colonialists. I'm here to be able to institute. That's what it was. It's what it was. I went there to be able to carry the culture of what was happening in the motherland, right, and bring it to the space. And so when I got there, the 2 weeks turned to 3 weeks, turned to 4, 5, 6, turned to 2.5 months. And then they asked me to stay. I didn't stay. Obviously, I didn't stay. I'm here. So after 3 weeks, I hadn't seen another black person. It was wild. I couldn't take it. 3 weeks. I couldn't take it. I did not see another black person for 3 weeks. I said, my God, I'm getting crazy. And you can see the black people. Like, oh, my God, no black people here. We're riding around, and people telling me about the racism and segregation unpronounced that still exists in the city. I couldn't take it. I got on a bus, and I drove to the most southern end of the place. I mean, looking for the extremities. I said, my God, there got to be a ghetto here somewhere. Where's the ghetto? I'm on the bus now, looking for the ghetto, out here exploring in Denver, Colorado. It's the same place when the first, you remember Sandy, the school where got shut up in Aurora? Yeah, Sandy Hook. I'm riding, and then bam, it hit me. My God, the ghetto. When I hit the ghetto, turned the corner in the bus, the fellas were shooting dice, boom, and drinking 40s. Shooting dice, drinking 40s on the side there. I said, oh my God, we're in the ghetto. I got off the bus, sat on the bus stop, jumped back on the next bus, and I said, okay, I'm fine. They're here somewhere. Praise God. And I left. That's the kind of concept that happens here in the Bahamas. That's what's happening here in the country. That is what's happening in this country. People can't wait to, I want to go to the Bahamas. And when they come here, I say, oh my God, it's time to go home. With one relentless warning after another, watch out now, These guys are giving you fake bags. Watch out now. These guys are going to be doing these. Watch out for those persons on the jet skis. Watch out now. My God. Stay within the confines of the wall of the resort that you came on. This is bananas. We came to the Bahamas. That's what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We are paradise from afar off. But when people come close to us, they say, oh my God, it's time to go. It's time for us to do away with these things. It's time for us to do away with this. I'll play a little something for you from the Prime Minister. Just a little taste. Let me give you about, maybe see if I can give you about 7 minutes at the top of being able to talk about what he's talking about. And then we're going to take it from there, guys. My producer got a treat up. You got it good? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Philip Brave, Albert Brave Davids. Go ahead.
I preferred to have taken this time to set out the plans we have in place to further lift our national development in 2024. Instead, with the country having witnessed 11 murders over the past 14 days, I want to speak to you about the things we are doing to reduce the incidence of crime and the plans we are beginning to implement, ultimately to prevent crime being committed in the first place. Over the past year, and in the past few weeks in particular, New Providence has seen the scene of senseless carnage, much of it attributed to persons already on bail for serious offenses. Most murderers and victims have also been connected to those associated in some way with gangs. Gang-related activity has plagued our country for far too long. Over the years, a number of initiatives have been launched to try to deal with it. We are now preparing the most comprehensive approach yet. Our frontline response to the present crisis is to bring forward a strategy which is already in the advanced stages of planning. Our approach lies in three stages: clear, hold, and bill. We're going on the offensive, but simply, our first phase is to clear out the gangs from our neighborhoods. Our police, armed with new resources and resolve, will strike hard against these gangs. We're not just disrupting them, we are dismantling them. We will show no mercy to those who have shown no mercy to their fellow citizens. If you choose crime, you will face the full weight and might of the law. After we clear these neighborhoods, we're not just walking away. We'll move to phase two, which is the whole phase. Our police will hold these communities by maintaining an ongoing, relentless presence. This is an area which we think has not been addressed fully in the past. We are sending a clear message to any criminal who thinks they can make a comeback. We are here. We're here to stay, and we're not going anywhere. This phase is about constant vigilance and strength. Lastly, we build. Not just buildings and roads, but building opportunities, building futures, building hope. This is about investing in our communities, creating opportunities that didn't exist before, and ensuring that crime is never again seen as a desirable option. We're not just reclaiming our streets, we are revitalizing them. Clear, hold, bill. It's an approach which has been used in some form or another in other countries with significant degrees of success. We are adapting it to suit the situation on the ground here in the Bahamas, and we are fully resolved to do what is necessary to succeed. Most of the killings are gun-related. There are far too many firearms on our streets. In fact, we have already begun to take more aggressive actions against those found in possession to support our zero tolerance approach. Our anti-gang and firearm task force is in full swing. Last year, the judiciary designated a magistrate specifically to deal with firearms offenses. We now have quicker prosecutions with stiffer penalties being imposed. From the date of first appearance in court to conviction or acquittal, is now taking an average of 2 months rather than a number of years, as was previously the case. The backlog is also being cleared. Swift justice is at work. We will build on this success. friends. You won't believe where we are finding these guns, stashed in cereal boxes and tucked away in snack packets, buried in innocent-looking surroundings. Guns are also being hidden by girlfriends, parents, and grandparents. Most worryingly, children and young people are being used to hide weapons near schools or even attempting to smuggle them in their underwear. And this is true of both girls and boys. It's clear evidence of the lengths criminals will go. Let me tell you, no matter how clever these gangs think they are, our task force is smarter, tougher, and more determined. We are uncovering their tricks, and we are putting an end to their game. There's another hard truth at play. We don't make guns here in the Bahamas. These firearms are coming from abroad, primarily from the United States. I've been straight with the United States government about the need to step up their game, and they have, as a result, tightened their response. Our partnership with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is strengthening. We're not just talking, we're taking action. We are tracking down Bahamians with dual citizenship who have been buying guns in the U.S. and trafficking them here. And it's working. We've already busted some major operations. During the past 2 years, we have significantly increased the resources to help the police to be more effective. We have recruited over 200 more officers, brought more vehicles onto the streets, provided more technological support, more firearms, and so on. We now need to go even further. Trained police officers are already in every school. We will enhance their capacity to ensure safety at school and build positive relationships with students. We will increase police presence in high crime areas to deter criminal activities. We will install more state-of-the-art surveillance technology using facial recognition CCTV to help with crime detection and prevention. We are encouraging officers to build stronger community ties in order to improve intelligence gathering. We are creating dedicated teams to provide assistance and protection to witnesses in criminal cases. We are reviewing the operation of the Confidential Informant Fund with a view to increasing resources to enhance the effectiveness of information gathering and covert operations. We are constructing a national forensic laboratory in order to reduce our dependency on foreign jurisdictions. We will then be able to conduct our own forensic analysis, which will significantly speed up investigations and improve the quality of evidence.
And the Prime Minister goes on for about 20-some minutes being able to talk about these things. Guys, please go on YouTube and check that thing out. Participate that, ingest the information, understand these particular things. I have a SWOT analysis. I've done my own SWOT analysis of what I identify as the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities, and the threats in this kind of a conversation that he has and been able to release. I must, at the onset, let you know with the kind of a prerequisite to make you understand that this is constructive. There is no way that I seek to destroy the Prime Minister, pull him down to be destructive in any way at any time. At any time. I only want to be able to lend this sort of a position, and I want to open this conversation to the public so we can dive deeper into these particular things. I actually got a text from one person. He says, I want to read this text to you. He says, I'm very surprised with you, Howard. If radio and university conversations are not one those pointed, whose points can be debated, aka criticized, opposed, then where can that happen? Sounds like what you're asking for is conformity or silence for those that don't think like you. That's really somebody else text this to me. Somebody just texted this to me. He says, nice speech, Howard. You could find it word for word on ChatGPT. Bananas. Don't fight ChatGPT. I got the thing, right? So let's talk about these particular things. Guys, I want to be able to, I got to take one more commercial break, right? I got one more commercial break before we can be able to do these things. I want to open up the lines. We're going to talk about these things. We're going to lay it out there and provide the constructive criticism for growth and development. We are hoping that the ears and hearts of our leaders in this country are open to community participation for us to be able to alleviate the strain of tribulation on our shoulders right now as it relates to crime. Quick commercial break, guys. We're going to take this and be right back after this.
Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Foundation. Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, the Foundation right here, being able to chop down these things. You're going to hear a little bit different tone, just a little taste, just a little pinch. I try to be as jubilant as possible as I come onto these particular spaces, but I suppose there's only so much you could take. As sand, this kind of a proverbial sand, the sand of crime continues to be, you know, thrown on your head day after day. We've got to deal with this. And I think I'm in a good spot to do it. But I need your participation. I want you guys to be able to be a part of what we're doing. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere from the family of islands at 242-300-5720. Hit me up 422-4796. The lines are wide open right now. So it says, the speech and plan is good, Howard. However, was this plan the answer to crime 8 years ago? We need a more proactive and not reactionary plan. Definitely more aggressive. I agree with you. But I think that's in hindsight. I think all of us could say, well, why didn't you do this before? I think we could always do that. I think we've come to a point now that one of the things that the Prime Minister actually spoke about was this concept about clear, hold, and build. Now, the clear, when he actually spoke about clearing out of gangs, the clear and the concept actually speaks to, in my view, more than that, right? More than that. More than just being able to talk about clearing of gangs. There needs to be a clearing of corruption. It needs to be clear. You could clearly identify that there's corruption, systemic corruption in our country. And the only way that crime continues to be able to expand and find itself blossoming in areas where there's deprivation, so forth and so on, in the middle of these areas where there's nothing else going on, there is only crime. And the only reason that could happen is because there's not insignificant enforcement. And the only thing that can lead us in a small society like this to have this kind of a speculation and open to conversation like this about the possibility of why crime continues to blossom in these areas and these subsectors of areas, why? Why would it continue to happen? Why? It only could be corruption. So when you clear in, you need to clear out corruption also. You need to make modification, identify these things, create a small sector within the Royal Bahamas Police Force and all uniform arms of the government to identify with mystery shoppers, to identify those persons who are infracting the infractions that they have on the agreement that they made with the government of the Bahamas to take the job that they have. The commitment that they made that they wouldn't do this, this, and this. And they're doing those things. We need to bring them to the forefront. Too long we in this kind of a position to say, well, what you want me to do, man? We can't fire everybody. Too long we didn't throw our hand up and say, well, my God, everybody doing it. What you want me to do, fire everybody? If you're going to be serious about this thing, you got to deal with it head on. Now, some people may be touched in high places as a result of you being honest, transparent, and being able to deal with this issue right where it is. This clearing. The first thing you do is clear these things. And if you're going to clear it, let's clear it properly. Because it's been clogged for a long time. Not only gangs, the perpetuation of gangs can only exist as a result of not policing the way that we're supposed to. All of us know these people. I told you all the story. I'm sitting in the barbershop and I hear three particular men. I ain't got to call no name and indicate who these men were. They knew who was coming out and coming on bail. They say, this particular fella coming on bail. And, you know, when he touched the road, oh my God, you know, he come and look for some people. And as they say that, less than 2 weeks, I haven't been to the barber now in about, since the middle of December. I haven't been to the barber since the middle of December. And that's the last time we had a conversation in the barber. And since then, 14 people have died. Since that conversation I heard in the barber, 14 people have died. This is absolutely bananas. If you know, and we know, how come they're still there? We got to deal with this. Telephone caller on the line with us live. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, what's up, Howard?
All is well, my brother.
Hey, good afternoon. So on that police matter, on the crime matter, the Bible tells us we mustn't take vengeance because vengeance belongs to the Lord. And also that the government is set up to avenge whatever goes wrong, which is to prevent us from taking the law into our hands. Hence, I put the responsibility for this crime situation primarily on the police force.
Mm-mm.
Because they're the guardians who we have entrusted to protect us. Now, they know they can't fight every crime, and I'm not asking them to do that. I'm asking them to, as far as this gun, they have to get better at it. They have to know of better intelligence. The money, there has to be money associated with this. There's a law for gangs. We have had one person I recall was attacked, and that's when it first came up. They met with gang leaders. What they've done, they have actually almost legitimized these guys.
That's crazy.
By law, you shouldn't be in a gang. So you can meet with an illegal, that's like meeting with cocaine dealers. I mean, you could do that. And cocaine, trafficking cocaine or dealing in cocaine is illegal. How can you meet with gang leaders if the law says that's illegal? So that means they know who they are. If they have enough evidence, because you know who they are, then you go after them. Just like how they, with the charges in the U.S.
I like how you go, you're talking about the RICO Act?
Yes.
I like where you're going with this.
Yeah, you listen. Do you go after the money? They ain't got no money to come.
I like where you're going with this. Let's see. I got to take a commercial break, though. See if you can call back for me after the commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, quick commercial break. We got to get to news. We'll be right back after this.
Foundation. The foundation. The fact. The fact. The fact. The foundation.
We'll be back right after this.
The foundation.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect on this absolutely gorgeous Monday afternoon, January 15th, Martin Luther King Day, MLK Day, right? Martin Luther King Day in the United States of America. It's a holiday today. If you're traveling today, you'd see that maybe two paces back, you know, maybe take it down two notches in the States if you're over in the States. But locally, we're dedicating this particular time right after the Prime Minister's actually released information yesterday in a national address. We talked about this. We give God praise about these things. We don't know how this has happened, but we're grateful that it does. We talked about it on Friday. On Friday, we indicated that these conversations, whether it has to do with the economy, and you can see the former Prime Minister is actually in the newspaper today being able to release information in there. Let me see if I can just read one page for you, so you can one paragraph for you, so you can be able to see those things. In a letter to the editor today, former Prime Minister Hubert Minnis has talked about these, said the Prime Minister's speech distorts history. The address delivered by the Prime Minister, Philip Brave Davis, in Lyford Key Club on November 25th, 2023, was disgraceful and filled with historic distortion. It is unsurprising that it was difficult for the media to obtain a copy of the speech from Davis's administration. This is information in there. Now, we talked about that. We didn't go into the speech because we didn't have access to it. The only thing that we had for the speech is sort of the breakdown that we saw the director of communication, Latre Raming, actually speak to and indicated, if we go back to a speech that the Prime Minister actually spoke when he was at the University of the Bahamas, is the exact same speech. You understand? But, you know, former Prime Minister Minnis, if you read the article, it actually goes a little bit deeper and says that his focus, and this is only what he says, because I wasn't there and I do not have the speech. Now, based upon what the Prime Minister says, that his speech, the emphasis was on being able to distort history and suppress the FNM's contribution in one way or another. You could go read it. But that's not the point. The point of what we're talking about is that our Prime Minister is taking these serious national issues when it comes to economic reformation for growth and development. Every one of us need to hear that simultaneously. Every one of us need to have access to that. We need to be able to ingest the information, understand that, scrutinize that, chop that down, understand how we're going to be able to move forward with that and hold the Prime Minister accountable. To have these conversations behind the wall, proverbial or actual, to have these conversations behind a wall doesn't bode well for your community, the governance of your entire community. We're not going to fight you. We just was having this conversation on Friday. To have a conversation about crime within the confines of a church service is impactful for that service. Great. It could kind of matriculate within the media and we could get little small snippets of those things. But for the significance, my God, for the weight that all of us bear on a day-to-day basis, we're looking around almost in a state of paranoia. My God. You're looking left and right trying to make sure nobody run up on your car. You're listening hard. You hope that's the police motorcycle that just passed you quickly. You don't know what's going on. That's the state that the country is in right now. We here in the city of Nassau that travail these streets up and down every single day. That's the state we're in. Don't have these conversations at the corner of New Destiny Church. That means you got to go to all our church. And then for the people who don't go to church, how you can reach them? Have a national address. The thing happened. Boom. 8 p.m. yesterday, the Prime Minister released that thing. Go there and watch it. It's only about 21 minutes or so. You could be able to ingest all that information and see exactly what's what. But this is where we are now. And now we're at the point after the Prime Minister has released it. On my Facebook page, I actually released some information. And if you're part of my grouping, I released some information to you also, right? If you're part of my group in the 8270111, 8270111, you could be able to see something I put out there. And there's nothing to talk about. And I don't claim to be, you know, the know-it-all. But this is some information that I kind of put together for right after he spoke. I put this together right after he spoke. And when I heard that he was going to be able to speak, there was an expectation to be able to see this. Saturday, I put this out there. So I said, excellent. Now our expectation is to speak with clarity. Just short of Ebonics. Be very clear. The Prime Minister was elusive in some of his words prior. And I couldn't understand some of these things. If you're talking to criminals, you got to be shoot straight with these fellas. We coming to lock you up. Very clearly. We coming to lock you up. We can deal with you. Very clearly, right? And then show empathy. Remind us that you're a citizen. That's one of the things that I personally, I want just a little taste more that the empathy on him. It seemed rather robotic just to be able to hit the words and don't give me, I don't want you to give me theatrics, but I want you to be able to let people see that you're a part of these things also. Some of the great people, great leaders globally, all these particular persons, when it comes to matters of the heart, when it comes to matters of the community that actually has touched people's lives and reformed people's lives this way, our Prime Minister has come to the forefront and being able to show us a little bit. You know, former Prime Minister Minnis has tried it. I think it was at the wrong space. Talk to me, right? He tried it when he started to cry for Dominica when they had the hurricane. He tried. It was too much. It was too much, right? We didn't want your tears. We want to hear behind the rhythm of your words, the empathy. That's all it is. We don't want your tears. We don't want you to break down crying for these particular things. But we just need to hear your heart behind the rhythm of the words that's been prepared to be able to come to the forefront. So that's what I put out there. And then be steadfast and relentless. Time is up for criminals. Articulate a strategy, 6 to 12 steps. He did not do that. He indicated to us that this will come today. But he did not do that, right? And then I talked about this. Y'all could touch it with me. Let me know if this even makes sense. Consider a declaration. If you look in Chapter 3, Article 29, it starts to talk about when you could be able to call an emergency, right? The Prime Minister stopped short on being able to call this a crisis or a war against crime. Now, maybe you don't think that we're at that point just yet, but he has the power to be able to make these sort of decisions. Right? The National Emergency Against Crime. He could be able to do that. We could talk about this. And then we also saw about transparency. These are the repeat offenders. There needs to be an APB, crime hotspots, name and shame of those particular persons aiding and abetting criminals. Show the faces of national on national television and local crime syndicate heads, so forth and so on. There's no need to be able to hide these people behind the wall anymore. We need to know who these people are. Oh my God, that's Shelley's son. Put him on TV. Put them on all the billboards all around the place. Let us know who are the criminals in our community. But Howard, you can't do that. Well, why not? We get to make the decision how we could be able to do these. Consult with all these particular persons, make a determination, and go forward. Let's move forward, right? And then commit to provide the resources, the manpower, one for the uniform arms, get those resources, all those particular things that they need, and support for the judicial arm. The judicial relentlessly, and also you could see that the chief of police indicated that we're doing our part. But when we get in the court, they write out, we're doing our part. Stopping short of saying, y'all need to go look someplace else. So we're going to have that conversation about being able to provide the support for the judiciary and being able to make those things happen. And also to incorporate tech for accountability. I think this is very important. I think this is very important to incorporate tech for accountability, because that's what the technology is for, accountability. And that's how you eradicate corruption, by accountability and creating checkpoints with trusted people to be able to deal with these particular things. Lines are wide open, guys. Be a part of the conversation. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Howard Grant.
Hey. Hey, Professor, what's
you
up?
You had a long dissertation there, but I heard everything that you said.
Thank you.
It was coming in very clear today. But the question that I heard, the clipping you made about the Prime Minister, the first question that came to my mind, is he constitutionally sound, yes or no? That can be answered from the Constitution. He never said anything about the Constitution of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm not interested in what other people are doing elsewhere. That
mm-hmm.
means nothing to me. They never consulted with us when they were dealing with their problems over there.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with our leaders in this country is we're always looking on the outside when the answers to the problems are right here in our own country.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first question. Is he constitutionally sound? He talked about intrusion. Now, if you're going after the criminals, well, then you have to identify who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to deal with those criminally minded persons near to him? Is he going to deal with them? Because they have to be dealt with as well.
Hold on, Professor. You're tipping toe into a deeper water at blue.
Pardon?
And I say you're tipping toe. This ain't just blue water. It's getting black. Talk to me about those criminally minded persons that are near to him. I need no names. I just need to get a concept of what you mean.
The reason why I said that is this. The government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is violating our Constitution. Lock, stock, and barrel.
Mm-hmm.
We have hardcore evidence, and I've said it over and repeatedly on the air. I have gone to the Constitution, looked at what the government is doing, and see clearly from the evidence that they're acting unconstitutionally. The Attorney General gave them bad advice. What is he going to do with him?
Okay,
they are acting on that bad advice that is not constitutionally sound. If the government violates the Constitution, that's criminal. You know
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a problem with him talking about going after the gangs. I won't call these fellas gangs. That's the word he used. Those who are violating the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Bahamas right in his circle, is he, what he's going to do with them?
Mm.
Because everybody is saying they did nothing wrong. And all available evidence shows that they have done a lot of wrong things. Repeatedly. Not no now and then. Repeatedly, over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to be done with them? While I don't have a problem with fighting crime or even dealing with people who commit criminal acts, what I'm concerned about is my constitutional rights. Now, I ain't letting you get away with violating me. Because you say you want to solve some problems. Because that's not constitutional.
Mm-hmm.
The Constitution tells us how to deal with specific things that affect the lives of the Bahamian people. You ain't got to have no excessive intrusion by the police force, the defense force, or any other entity of the government into the lives of the Bahamian people. You got enough of that crap right now, which needs to stop. And so the thing is that we have to be very, very careful. We had the man say he's going to violate the Constitution. No one took up the challenge with him when he made that bold statement. What are we going to do now? We're going to let this one come along and do the same thing? Is that going to be the kind of practice we have? Are we interested in securing our constitutional rights? Because if you allow the government of the Bahamas to get away with violating the supreme law of the land, what do you think is going to eventually happen? Just like you see what happened in Sudan. The country all break up. Two fellas fighting who were friends before. They got the country split in half. And thousands are dead. Hundreds of thousands injured. Is that what we want? Are we going to keep sitting back and not tell the government of the Bahamas where they are wrong? And why is he reading a speech on crime? Why? What has happened to his Minister of National Security? Don't we have one?
Yes,
we don't have one.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Well, then why is he not allowing him to function in that office? Or has he dismissed him and he take it over himself?
Wow.
I'm not saying he cannot speak. Don't misunderstand me. Because when you look at that office of prime minister, let me tell you something. The office of prime minister is like a gigantic octopus that spreads its tentacles into every single facet of the Bahamian life. There's nothing that escapes the office of prime minister. Nothing at all in this country. Nothing. He can do a lot of things which you may not agree with. You cannot necessarily say he's not constitutionally sound on that. But we got to watch his actions now. When you talk about intrusion, that's a serious thing.
Yeah.
Because people can tip over and get into some areas where they shouldn't be.
Wow.
So we got to watch him carefully. And this is the problem with Bahamians. They don't know their constitutional rights, their freedoms, their privileges. We have been sitting ducks for 50 years. And we allowed the government of the Bahamas to repeatedly violate this supreme law of the land. Now, I can see what he can do about that. Because
well,
I'll be watching that very carefully.
Well, thank you very much.
I am, but others going to take action, too. Because we know it's our constitutional rights to protect the interests of our people. That's what we have to do. Thank you very much, Howard.
Thank you, Professor. I do appreciate that. Always appreciate this kind of a contribution. As a result of these particular things, I did that, too. I went into Chapter 3, and I went into being able to read up more on this position that we can take as it relates to being able to, is this infringing on our rights? What does this mean by being able to take a few of these particular things? And if he doesn't make this kind of a declaration that we're under war, then what does it mean? You're just definitely being able to infringe upon our constitutional rights here in the country. So there needs to be able to come with that. And that's what I wrote down, you know. I wrote that down as one of the analysis that I did, right? This is SWOT analysis, very clear, right? That's a little SWOT analysis, nothing too heavy. I put it in there, and I tried to make a determination. So I started to talk about community involvement, emphasizing the role of the whole society in combating crime, encourages community participation, aligning with the societal values enshrined in the Bahamian society, right? So we started to talk about, this is the strengths that he had, the moral responsibility, the legal review, the hope and the positivity. I like that. His weakness was he was very vague in his descriptions. The call for societal involvement lacks specific action plans and or initiatives, which can lead to ambiguity, right, and implication. So we don't necessarily know exactly what he was talking about. It was too vague, right? And then the potential overreach. The proposal to hold parents accountable could raise legal and ethical concerns, all these particular things. And this kind of a hold concept, I could read some stuff, right? And also that the limited scope, the speech primarily addresses the symptoms of crime rather than the root causes. The root causes. And I think accompanied with an immediate plan should be a long-term plan. Phase it out. Phase one, immediate. Phase two, within the next 18 months, this is the reformation that you could see. Phase three, over the course of the next 10 years, this is what our expectations are in the event, whether we're here or not, if we execute this accordingly under the auspices of the Ministry of National Security and more specifically within the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Phase it out and make us to understand that this is not just a plan for brownie points for your political organization, but it's a plan for reformation in our society. Let's do this. Let's take a next telephone call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. You on with me? Next caller. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey, my brother. What's happening?
What's happening, man?
All is well.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, yes,
listen
sir.
Listen to me. I heard Sidney Magatta, Walter Thompson, talking just now.
Mm-hmm.
He talking about taking my constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm.
They can take my constitutional wrong and all. I don't care. Once they can protect me and my family. Now, sometimes you have to give up. You ever have to give up your right for wrong?
That's a slippery slope right there.
Sometimes you have to do some things. Boy, you know you was right.
That's a slippery slope right there.
No. nobody, it's something has to be done. Now, my other thing too.
Yeah, but see, watch it. Before you do that, when you render your sovereignty, let's do this. When you render your sovereignty, your constitutional right, your autonomy to a man, when you say, all right, do as you will, you will be locked in the house for 2 years. My God. When you say, do as you will, once you keep us safe, this kind of perceived idea of safety, let's be decent now. Under the Free National Movement, Marvin Deems, in his particular capacity as Minister of National Security, came out boasting about the fact that there has been double digits in crime for the very first time in forever as a result of us being in our house. And if we do enough research, when we look at what's happening globally and what was happening locally, we were still in our house at one point.
But Mr. Grant, if that's what it takes to cut down the murder rate, if that's what it takes to cut down the crime, then do it. I don't want to be locked up in my house, but if that's what it can be to help crime, do it.
My God.
Now, my next thing for you, cut me. The prayer vigil thing with the Prime Minister called for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Good idea.
So you're getting on
the
Russell
Square.
The only
problem I have is it's in the wrong place.
Well, you won't break.
They should have gone on R&B Lee Park. They should have gone on Victor
like
Park.
I like
they could have gone in Montel Heights.
They could have gone in Knox.
You have to go to the criminals and pray for them. Them niggas ain't coming out there to get prayed for.
I like this.
You got to go to them.
I like this. Go in the ghettos.
You don't want to go there from Lily to Wally Corner. They ain't got no car.
I like
you
this.
You think they can take a chance and walk downtown?
Yeah.
You have to go to them. That makes sense with this. It's a good
I
idea.
Like this.
That's
I like
the worst thing. I can have more tourists on there than natives if some cruise ship in.
I like this. You did
you know, let's go to the people, man. Let's take it to the people. Let's take this thing to the people. You see how Mr. Davis now taking this thing to the criminals?
Mm-hmm.
That's how we need to take this now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go in a gunfight with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
You're bound to get your hands shoot off.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot fire with fire, man.
I like this, my brother. Thank you so much for your contribution, my brother. Thank you so very kindly for that. I give you 65% on your call. I ain't going to fight you. Some people might agree with you 100%. But I, on the other hand, I don't want you to lock me in my house. You know, some people, they don't want to get locked in the house. I, on the other hand, I believe that we have the wherewithal and I believe that we have the resources accessible and available to us. I believe that we have the intelligence of being able to identify where the hotspots are, how to be able to eradicate these things. See, the idea for me is if we put more pressure on these hotspots and people in these particular hotspots become broken, exhausted, tired, they don't want to see this no more. If we find ourselves in this space, my God, let's do something. I'm on the police need to get from around here. And you start to relieve and give up some of these things. Your cousin, you love your cousin. I ain't going to lie. But these people, they may be murderers. What they got gun for? This code, if you could break this code that snitches get stitches, then more of us will find ourselves in a healthy society. We got to fix this foolishness, man. Snitches get stitches. Don't put no gun around me. My God, you think I's Charleston White. You need to stop it. What you got gun for? This ain't no shotgun. What you got a license for? So I don't even know you have a driver's license. I know you don't got no shop license. You're no businessman in this society. What you got gun for? You're wilding out. Let me take this telephone call and then go to a break right after it. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
A blessing. Good afternoon. Happy New Year and everything.
Hey, what's up, Anton?
Blessings to you and your family, Howard. How you doing?
All is well, my brother.
All right. Blessings and Happy New Year to the nation as well.
Same to you, my brother.
Good afternoon. I've been listening to your conversations just for information. I hear you calling for help, for backup.
Go ahead.
But nonetheless, interesting conversation on Prime Minister Davis's national communication on crime last night. I believe that it was a very sound communication. I believe that the Prime Minister laid out a lot of what his government already has done and is continuing to do. The Prime Minister built on on what he is doing by explaining that they will be expanding initiatives in technology with the facial recognition technology, which is crucial, with all fitting the Alabama police force with more technological advances in order to execute on their jobs. I believe that the Prime Minister has been very proactive on the global stage with our biggest global partner, the United States, recognizing that a lot of the challenges we face with the choice of ammunition being guns coming from their region. I believe the Prime Minister has been very proactive in dealing with the U.S. straight on and bringing it to a point where we now have a senior ATF officer who was already, as the Prime Minister stated clearly, done a lot of work and helped them to crack a lot of major cartels who have been shipping guns into the country and who have been operating in the country. And so, you know, I believe the Prime Minister has been very clear and very substance-based in his communication last night. How would in the short time that he communicated, I believe that he had communicated a lot. He also mentioned some initiatives that are very important in terms of seeking to hold parents accountable. Howard, that's a problem in our country, Howard.
Mm-hmm.
It is a problem. Howard, think about it from this perspective. Even from the education perspective, we have had so many students that were not participating in school who actually have a parent in the home. They may not come from a home where the parents are married or where the two parents are living together, but a parent was in that home and allowing the children education to just slip by them.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing is happening on the crime front, Howard, and something should have been done decades ago to seek to hold parents more accountable for their minor children, Howard, because this is the way you get the community involved. When the community, it's like what my boy who just hung up from you, man, call and said, you got to go to the criminals, right? Because they ain't coming to you. Well, if the parents don't want to do their job, you got to take the law to the parents, Howard. That's a part of the solution to resolving crime in our country, seeking to hold the parents accountable. And another part of that is seeking, well, let me not get into that because that one got a lot of air. So you're not talking about that today, so I'm not going to raise that particular issue. I'll wait until I hear you speak about it, and then I'll elaborate on it. But Howard, the Prime Minister did, in my view, a very good job in demonstrating what he has been doing. And what, you know, one of the things that I love most about what I see PM doing, Howard, is the fact that here it is, and Thompson spoke about it in a different way, but I'm going to highlight it in the opposite direction. You have the leader of a nation, Howard, who's putting his name and his government name on the line, who's putting skin in the game, who's putting his name on the line, Howard, and telling you he is taking on crime along with his Minister of National Security, along with his Minister of
Anton,
Education.
When he took the job, he put his name on the line.
Bear in mind, Howard, I'm speaking from the perspective that Thompson spoke to when he spoke about the Constitution.
Okay,
I
see what you're saying.
Allowing his minister to do his job.
But I know if you want to hold on now, because my producer told me I got to take a break.
I want to hold on.
Okay, hold on. Guys, let me take this quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and be right back after this.
Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
Creativity is in my blood. From shoes to handbags, fashion lets me express myself and embody Bahamian culture. My name is Aiden Barrow, and I'm the creative director of House of Assembly. Alive's Liberty Prime Plan allows me to focus on my passion and stay connected, whether at home or abroad. Once I've created something new, I can post to social media from anywhere and get instant feedback. Alive has a plan for everyone, and it's created with you in mind. Alive, believe in best.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant, the Foundation. Anton, I'm going to give you 30 seconds, Anton. 30 seconds to kind of wrap up. Go ahead, Anton.
Okay. Well, thank you for the opportunity, first and foremost, Howard. Look, the Prime Minister stated very clearly, as it relates to one of the new initiatives that his government is taking on, being seeking the whole gang members accountable and doing the investigations from the high school and the primary school levels, he stated very clearly and emphatically that his Minister of National Security and his Minister of Education are the chairs for those committees, and they are driving much of the crime initiatives, except he's the one with the overall push. And so the push is coming out of his office, but he's still delegating the responsibilities to his minister. Look, the bottom line, I'll end on this note, Howard, the bottom line is, we have a prime minister of the nation who announced that he's not going to take, unlike the former prime minister, he's not going to take any of our civil liberties, but we are going to become uncomfortable because the police efforts are going to ramp up to a point where they have to ramp up in order to make the criminals uncomfortable, in order to ensure that they don't have unfettered access to do whatever they want to do in our country. He's taking the war to them. Behemoths have to participate in order for us to be successful as a community and as a country. We have to be able to deal with being late to our appointments, as he stated. But the Prime Minister is taking the lead, and we should all step behind him, support him, opposition, other French parties out there. We should all join in with our Prime Minister in his initiative to take the war to criminals, because it's going to destroy all of us if we can't get it under control. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless.
I appreciate you. Thank you so very kindly. He was rather vague, though. How long is this going to be? We know that there is, within law, within our constitutional rights that exist, we know that you can't do this beyond 2 weeks. When the Prime Minister came out and made a declaration, former Prime Minister made a declaration of war against COVID-19, he still had these powers that existed for a time period. I think it was a 14-day period. And after that, he needed to renew. After that, he continues to be able to renew. Our prime minister has come to the very forefront and indicated that, hey, listen, there's going to be some, you know, we're going to infringe upon sort of the liberties that you have upon the streets. You're going to see people stopping. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. All right, we hear you. How long is this going to be? And so based upon this kind of a distance, length of time you're going to do that, what is the incremental information that you, what's the data that you're going to come back with? Every 14 days, you need to come back to the country and say, over the past 14 days, this is how much criminals that we've had. This is how much guns that we get. This is how many people we lock up. This is the boom, 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 boom. We haven't had this, and then compare last year, and then compare the first 14 days of the year. That's how you do this. I don't want nobody giving me no words no more. I'm tired of that. You give me data. I was better in maths than I was better, that I was good in English. I was better in maths. I could add and subtract and divide and understand. I hit you with the board mass, the brackets of division, addition, subtraction. I know how to hit it. I know this. So give me data. Data is the first 14 days of the year this has happened. These are how many people that died within the first 14 days of the year, murdered, snuffed out. As a result of that, these are the people who have been released from prison. This is their position in the crime syndicates in the country. And as a result of these particular things, we have put a significant hold. We did declare hold and bill, right? At this point, I like to stop, review, and cancel. Not in a bad way, but declare hold and bill is what you do, all right? So you cleared it out. You identified these things. You held them. And now you want to be able to build back community. I can't fight you. I like it. Let's be clear about this. I like it. But if you don't tell me what our expectations are and the data coming out over the next 14 days, then I don't know how to deal with you. All you can do is hit me with words. I can't deal with no more words. I need action. Next telephone call on the line with this live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller, you on the line? Next caller. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
How?
Hey.
How you doing?
Good afternoon. How you doing? All is well?
All is well.
You okay?
I'm okay.
Okay.
I just want to touch on two things with the Prime Minister say that nobody seems to pick up on. Okay, except for me, I guess. Or we probably need to go back and listen to it. We talk about dual citizens.
Yes, he did talk about dual citizens and how these persons are responsible for bringing in the guns and how they deal with some stuff for that. Yes, okay, yes.
But when he mentioned that, he didn't pause. He just went on to continue his speech. Now, shouldn't he have not paused? But they are what?
You mean to be able to elaborate on it?
Or to elaborate by telling, because to be honest with you, right? The Bahamas, the country that we love, do we accept all dual signature?
No, there's only one. Get one at a time.
Eh?
No, it's only one at a time. Yes.
We don't. You just have to give up on the one of your citizenship, right?
Yes.
And he just said that and just went right on. Because if these are the places who bring in these firearms, then what you do? You deal with that. That's an easy fix, right?
You would think so.
I mean, they just, like you said, just words, man. Just pause right there and say, you know what? We now beginning to look into where these firearms coming from, right?
But you could go deeper than that. You could go deeper than that. Somebody text me and say, Howard, there ain't no canal in the ghetto. These things coming on foreign boats, there ain't no canal in the ghetto.
Thank you. That's one right there, right? And another thing again, right? They talk about we working hand in hand with the Prime Minister, which is good, right? But I keep mentioning, and the reason I do, Howard, because this is something that I was very much a part of, right? NNWC. You know what that is, right?
NNWC.
That's the National Neighborhood Watch Council.
Yes.
Okay? That program, I don't care how much they tell me that in existence, it's not. Because if my eyes can't see it operating, it is not. Pardon me?
Okay.
This
was the program that was based, this was kicked off under Marvin Dames.
Marvin Dames and Mr. Wong was doing a pretty good job with it.
Okay.
The Neighborhood Watch, Neighborhood Crime Watch was a part of an association in most subdivision, right?
Mm-hmm.
The FNM, they took it out and they put it under the government, right?
Mm-hmm.
And once they put it under the government, to me,
it been to hell.
We never did agree for it, but it happened anyhow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when the government changed, they may say the name is still there, but the program is not running.
Mm-mm.
Why it's not running? Because I don't see it's running.
See, that's the problem with politicizing these things.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the problem with politicizing these things.
Communication you had with the police officers, the relationship and the way things was going, is not the same. So don't tell me it's there, but it's not, man. It's not working. Mm. It is not functioning. So to me, it is not there. And that was. I don't know why you think it was. We would make you think it would not be working. If you, as a citizen in your community, working along with the police officer, why wouldn't something like that be functioning and working? And once you pull that, then you know people can feel naked and scared and shake up, and not feel comfortable no more.
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying?
I like this.
But it ain't working, so stop it, man. We're not serious. Don't tell me we're serious when we, politicize everything in this country. That's a problem. So when they want to talk, let's talk about that, okay?
I appreciate your telephone call, my dear. Thank you so much. I want to touch this while she said, she was able to kind of decipher and identify these things, right? I want to talk about the dual citizenship. I think we can take some time to talk about this week. All right. But beyond that, I want to talk about this kind of a neighborhood watch program and the politicizing of initiatives that's designed specifically and strategically to be able to assist the community. Now, in the clip just before we came back to the news clip, you would have heard leader of the Free National Movement, the Honorable Michael Pintard, being able to take on this kind of a position to indicate that he was in, he, they invited us to this kind of a forum, right? It wasn't no specific strategic nothing, but they invited us here, and we provided them some information in 2022. And we indicated with the deputy leader of the Free National Movement, Shannon Cartwright, we indicated if you take these particular steps, we are willing to work with you. They were not willing to take our steps. They were not willing to do what, as we said. And that's what we find the issue is in every subsector of our society. There is no commitment to a greater good if it's not seen that I did this. That every single tile you lay, you wish to initial it. That's bananas. That's crazy. Every tile you lay, you seek to put your initial at the very bottom of that thing. Hey, I laid this tile here. Exhausting. That we get absolutely nowhere because before you lay the tile and put the mortar on the thing, before you lay that, you then you got to hold the tile and sign it to say, I did this. I'm about to lay this tile. This is bananas. The country needs you to be able to work collectively towards an objective. There is no expectation that we think, no, in no way, we expect this, the FNM and the PLP work together. We don't expect that. We don't. We don't. We don't expect you to be able to sing Kumbaya, hold hands, and see reform in the country. We understand that this is a blood sport that you guys are in, but we ain't in your games right now. The community is not concerned about your games right now. We're not concerned about your leadership plight and your desires to be able to be in a position for growth and development within the Free National Movement. The community is not concerned about whether or not you're going to get brownie points as we go towards 2026 and within the PLP. We're not concerned about that. We're concerned with being able to reduce the crime on our streets now. And that's not yellow, that's not red. The only thing red here is the blood spilling in our streets. And the only thing yellow are the cowards that don't lead and lend contribution to growth and development. They don't stand up and say, count me in for being able to see reform in my community. You cower behind your political banners, and it's too much. It's too much. When I put information out, as I sit here and talk, as I be able to put all this information out, I'm not getting paid for this. Nobody giving me no money to say, oh, Howard, this is a great idea. In the speech yesterday, the Prime Minister indicated that his expectation is for all the cabinet ministers to be able to contribute to a greater... This is what he said. He expect them to be able to come to the forefront and contribute to a greater effort for being able to jot these things down. I got several calls on the weekend. Says, Howard, send this to the Prime Minister. I formulated it. I gave it formality. I was very casual with the approach of sending it out because I just lay in my bed. My wife was keep talking to me. I said, baby, I type it. What are you doing? I'm typing. I lay in my bed. I type the thing out, straighten it up, boom, and I send it out there. I ain't asked nobody for nothing. Bite from the thing if you could use it. If you can't use it, leave it alone. And that's where we are in this country. I didn't have to put my signature at the bottom of the tile to let you know Howard Grant laid our tile ready. We have to do better in this society. Let's see if we can take a telephone call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead. No? Next call. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Howard. Good afternoon.
What's up, Jeff?
Right here, my brother. I think in this vein, many of the inserts that our Pastor Mario teaches in our services, I think they need to be applied. It is so salient on many of the issues that we are faced with. His pronouncements are so much on point. The thing is, what got me right now is, first and foremost, government is supposed to be continuous, and if you have a program that can be applicable for the next 5, 10, 15 years, regardless to which political party government may have introduced it, it should be a plan for the next 10, 15 years. That's something that we have not yet matured ourselves to. at this point. Second point here is the police always says that it has its, they have intelligence on how these weapons are getting onto the island and so on and so forth. My thing is the Prime Minister has made a major pronouncement, and I want to see the same force and fervor spread straight across the board for the rich and the poor, because many of these weapons, it is alleged to be coming into these gated communities, but yet we have no.
Jeff, I told you, 242-300-5720. 242-300-5720. That's a toll-free call. I want to thank you so much for your contribution, Jeff. I'm sorry that you got cut or you dropped. Let's see if I can read a couple of these things here. It says, Howard, the gentleman is absolutely incorrect. It is not the police. It is the government and the legal system that is to blame until we decide, as the government, to be autonomous in carrying out our own law. Then criminals will always have a get-out-of-jail-free card. That's a text that's coming through. It says, the political leaders having lunch with gang leaders, giving them jobs and contracts to stop crime until you don't see something weird about that. You don't see something weird about that. Plus, must I add, these are foreign gangs and terror cells. Okay, this is bananas. This is bananas. The last time I hear about a terror cell, we was talking about Al-Qaeda. This is bananas. What you're saying to me, I'm going to read this, right? So it says, plus, may I add, these are foreign gangs and terror cells. So now our government is negotiating with criminal enterprises. I mean, I'm not surprised that these same people was partying with the fella over at anyway, I can't read the rest of that. You know, I can't read the rest of that. Behave yourself. So it says, Brave laid out a 5-year plan at the speech from the throne. 1 year later, he prorogued the parliament, appointed the new GG, and read another speech laying out his plan. 2 years plus, he is laying out another strategy while he brings more hardship to the Bahamian in a slew of taxes and fees. All this is just fluff. That's the text that's coming through. It says, the government don't want Monroe speak because the Bahamas people, 100% of all the time, don't like what he says, right? That's the text that's coming through. It says, the whole slate of the cabinet members, they do not disclose assets to the public. This goes against the Constitution, I suppose. That's what they say. Next text, it says, I agree with the call. Another year of Anton's selective praise to his party, huh? Where is the further rollout of the CCTV? Where is the strong legislation and restorative justice being advanced? Where is the seriousness about corruption? But y'all want to pick easy fruit about parents. Are kids smuggling guns? Are the kids the heads of the gangs? And the government say no. If you got to disrupt all of society to deal with a few known people, then you do not have any idea of what else to do. That is heavy. That is absolutely heavy, right? So it says, I'm trying to understand I'm not going to read this. You're wilding out right now. You're doing a lot, right? So it says, El Salvador wiped out gangs overnight from highest murder rate to almost none, right? So it says, road closure effective immediately. Bay Street between Parliament Street and Bank Street will be closed to motorists to facilitate the National Day of Prayer ceremony slated for today at 7 p.m. The roads will reopen following those meetings, following this evening's gathering. Guys, make sure you go to that and check that thing out. Good afternoon, Mr. Grant. Sad to say, many sound as this may sound, what they need to do is offer rewards for anyone who can give information on guns. They already do this. On guns and murder in their community. And persons remain anonymous. They already do that, right? So, hi. Also, hi, Mr. Grant. I want to know, how is locking me down going to solve crime that is giving the criminals too much power? Why should we be controlled of our own port? Why don't we have control of our own port? You don't know what they're bringing into this country. We do. The customs agents actually go to these particular places all the time. You ain't got the answer, Sway. No politicians, no churches leaders, no magics. Just Jehovah. Please lean on him. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you so very kindly for your contribution. I want to say to you, contribute in more than one way. Even if you don't make it out to Rawson Square, even if you congregate in your church, even if you decide to be able to find other spaces, wherever you go, we're looking for national contribution to go to Rawson Square this evening. However, we want more than that. We want you to be able to travail. Throw your prayers up this evening, ladies and gentlemen. And let's be able to put all hands on deck and get rid of this crime issue in our country. It's time for us to do it. I want to thank you for your contribution. Thank you for your participation, your passion, your approach, your sort of an ingenious approach, creativity and innovation to put on the table. And we're hoping that government members beyond your politics, ingest the information that our society is putting out there and find us in a position to move forward, upward, onward, together. March on Bahamaland. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the show today. Thank you so very kindly, Howard Grant, the Foundation, live and in full effect, chopping this thing down tonight. Go down there to the prayer vigil that's going to be happening, to the day of prayer. That's going to be happening 7 p.m. tonight at Rawson Square. We're going to see you tomorrow, live and in full effect, right here on the Foundation, 96.9 FM radio. Have a beautiful day. We see you tomorrow. Godspeed. Foundation. Brown, black,